Holy crap, all the answers listeners, friends, family. Can you believe the following intel? Next week is our 200th episode. 200. And we want to make it an extra special one. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask in the Akashic Records, guidance you need for your life, things you're trying to understand about yourself or the universe or your human design chart or people in your life or things happened in the past or past lives or karma or anything wackadoo like that, please send us your questions. We really miss hearing more questions from you guys and doing our best to answer them. I mean, after all, we are all the answers, so we have all the answers, so you probably should send your questions. You send them to allanswerspod@gmail.com. Episode 200, you guys. Can you believe it?
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records. Akashic, we laughing, we drafting the passion through every. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magicless, basking it. To top it off, the host, all the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Her voice is still the same.
Right? They could have updated her.
It's very insistent.
You know, speaking of which, Eric did a very fun thing that I want to give him public credit for.
All right.
So he likes to help me out by programming my Waze, you know, the Waze direction app. My Waze voice, he'll change it. He'll sneak it on me like he's navving for us in the car. And then he'll change it. So the next time I get in, it's like Daniel Day-Lewis is directing me or whatever.
Yeah.
For a long time, because I was lazy about it, I had corporate acronym guy.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's really silly. But the problem was the bit that the character would do is like list these long lists of, acronyms. So
you'd miss your turn.
I'd either miss the turn or as I'm listening to my podcast, it's like I'm into the podcast and then.
Right.
This voice takes over and is like, let's not mess up our QRTs and our CPRs and our QQMs and make sure you turn left quickly. Let's circle back to that next week. And I'm like, I'm trying to hear a podcast. And it was like still doing bits forever. Anyway, yesterday or 2 days ago, he changed it and I didn't know so that it rotates.
Oh.
So now each time I get a direction, I don't know what's coming.
Have you heard the different horoscope ones or the what are they called?
Right.
The signs.
Yeah.
Gemini. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. Good for you. You're making great progress. Now turn left, Scorpio, or whatever.
Yeah, that's
fine. I don't know who needs to hear that, but someone does.
That's good. Yeah.
That's why I don't use Waze. You guys know what Waze is? Waze is the app that uses crowdsource info to get you around traffic. I know a lot of you probably like Waze. Fuck Waze. I only need a few of you. Fuck Waze. Listen to me. It's not the way of the soul. It's all head, it's no heart. Do you know what I mean? It just sucks you in and you're just like, traffic? Ha! We'll see about that. Right, left, left, right, left. I don't need it. I don't need to save 5 minutes careening through gated communities. We don't belong on those roads.
So that, I have other news. I have started to eat consciously again. Started to like, be like, okay, you know what? This is cute, the whole intuitive eating thing. It's like, I feel like, it took me a lot of years. It's like for anybody, this is like legit eating disorder healing talk now. My eating disorder recovery, I don't know how openly I've even talked about that on here, but.
Not that much.
You know, 25 years ago, let's see, 2001. What is that? 23 years ago, I went to treatment inpatient for eating disorder, binge eating disorder specifically. And when I say that, I'm talking about 3,000 and 4,000 calorie binges several times a day without being bulimic.
Wow.
So it was just like pain. And you could imagine the amount of pain I was in by how much food that is, like how badly you have to want to repress your feelings in order to eat that much. and so a big part of my healing from it, because believe it or not, binge eating disorder is very tied in with diet mentality. So you restrict to try to be thin to feel worthy, and then you overcompensate by binging because you can't restrict without ending up binging. Like, restriction always leads to binging. So it's a tough one to figure out how to do. Like, how do you, where's the middle, you know? And my whole life, I just, for years, I did a version of recovery that was like perfect food plan, and I'd stayed on it, and then I'd break it. And then it was like, fuck this food plan. And I went into full rebellion for a couple years. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to do intuitive eating and keep doing my trauma healing. That's what I chose to do. And it really changed my relationship with food. I'm not very compulsive, and I definitely haven't binged in years and years, and I don't have to fight it, and it doesn't come to my mind, which is amazing. And I'm proud of all that. A lot of years of like a lot of work, because eating disorders are, like all compulsive behavioral addictive patterns, they are a coping strategy for trauma. They are a survival tool for how you get through really bad shit. So changing it is incredibly hard, because the more you let it go, the more your shit comes up from the past. So you got to be really ready for some very heavy emotional shit to come up to like actually start dealing with an eating disorder. They're the worst. They're very bad. In fact, clinicians and psychologists talk about eating disorders are the hardest thing to heal. Most people go to treatment and get a little better and then just get way worse, and nobody gets better. Yeah. Although in the last 5 years, there's been all this new, I don't actually know what it is, what they do in the psychology worlds, but there's like new stuff that theoretically helps more. I mean, assuming it has to do with like EMDR, EFT, NET, all those tools being applied. That's the only assumption I can make. Otherwise, I don't know what they've.
Things where you're retraining on the neurological level, on the energy level and on the neurological level, it sounds.
Well,
like.
It's not retraining, it's processing the trauma.
Mm. You had a big zorch. You had a digital bzzz.
There we go.
Everything good?
Yeah, it seems like it. So you're processing trauma. Just like I had a client this morning who, what I'm trying to say is everything at the end of the day is about processing pain that's stored in everything. And I had a client, and this happens a lot with clients, where they're like, what do you suggest I do about blank? Or what's the solution to blank? Or what tools can you give me so that I can blank? And having done this long enough, I'm like, well, it's very simple and it's very easy. And usually I have to say to people, and I've already told you 20 times, what do you think I'm going to tell you? And they'll go, and they get confused and they don't know what to say. And I try to be like, I'm not reminding you that I've told you a lot of times to shame you, but I want you to know this is how hard it is to do this very simple thing. So a simple thing is not always an easy thing. It's incredibly hard. Which is process the pain underneath the thing, and then you have the answer to your question. That's all it is. So the session is go into where it hurts. Okay, you can't get there. I'll help you get there. And then we process that, and then things bit by bit get better. There's no easy way out. There's no shortcut. The things you say to yourself mentally are tools to get you through the day, which is great, and we all need those, and I use them myself all the time. But they don't resolve trauma. Some trauma stays with us forever in a certain way in terms of like, your personality develops around traumas you're having at that age. So some of it is just always going to be there. But a lot of it can be processed out. So what's the answer? Feel the feeling you don't want to feel, and then everything gets better. My point being, sorry, I got on a little tangent, but my point is, whether you're talking about eating disorders, sexual abuse history, why do I hate my mom? Why am I tired all the time? Why does my knee hurt? Really, it's all, where's the trauma? Feel into the trauma. Let's reprocess the trauma so you can be free of it. Unless you have an injury that is literally just mechanical and has nothing to do with emotions or history, right. In which case you see a physical therapist.
And then sometimes it's hard to figure out which.
Yes.
It is. Like, I've had a basically upset stomach for, just to put it bluntly, just swamp gut, you know, farty, awful gas, just bad digestion. Not nauseous, not like I'm going to be sick, but just not good down below. But it, you know, 2 days, you're like, I ate something or my biome is off and I just need to fix it. 3 days, 4 days, you start to go, what the fuck is, there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I only say that because, you know, last few days, exactly the same thing. I was like, well, I just need to fix this by like eating yogurt or, you know, But if it's, if that's not doing it, then there's also another additional. It can be probably in concert with each other, but there's definitely, it won't shift back. So then there's something else going on.
Well, so sometimes, right? But sometimes you can have a longstanding physical thing that really just needs the right physical treatment, like you might, you know, whatever. But
right.
So in your case, here's a great question to play with for yourself. What has been hard to emotionally digest?
And if
you were to, you don't have to say words if you don't want to, but if you were to sink into.
Yeah.
And actually feel and actually connect with the pain of digesting that emotionally. I put money on the table, the digestion would clear up. Unless you've taken it so far that you also need to add something with it, like herbs or something.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we are fucking systems. So like if the spiritual energetic part kills off enough of the biome, then the biome's still killed off and you can't regrow it necessarily.
Yeah.
Without physical intervention. So it's a little of everything.
It's nice, though, that there are questions we can ask, like things with the knees are often about cutting ourselves off at the knees and not being able to move forward, take action in life. So what actions can you take? You could say to yourself, you have knee trouble, to move forward in your life, and it'll start to undo the knee trouble. But also, I would say if you have knee trouble, feel it to the pain in your knee. And if you stay with it long enough, it's going to show you something in your heart. If you have stuff in the low back, what emotions have you pushed behind you? What emotions have you pushed to the background of your life so you could live? You know, there's all kinds of different stuff. Shoulder stuff is often, what are you shouldering the burden of? Like our bodies do speak in metaphor.
Yeah, interesting.
Pain in the neck is a good one.
Who's bothering you?
What's a pain in your neck that you need to deal with that if you were to deal with it would lessen the pain in your neck?
Right. So if you have rectal discomfort, someone's just...
Who's fucking you in the ass?
Well, who's a pain in your ass right now?
There you go. I took it too literal.
You went straight to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's been fucking you? Who's fucking you? Metaphorically.
Yeah, maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
So are you, just to wind it back, are you currently dealing with some, for yourself, some ED stuff?
No.
Is it come back? No, you're saying you've moved through it.
Oh, right. So why did I bring all that up? No, so where I'm at now is like, for me, a pretty tricky place in that I'm ready to drop weight again, like, but I am not willing to do it addictively or crazily or compulsively. And that requires like planning and commitment and research and time and energy and preparation and all kinds of shit that like I have not been willing to do because before, I mean, it's hard for me not to associate planning, preparation, all of that with being restrictive.
Right.
You know, being on a diet.
And even with obsessive behavior, because planning and all that can reach obsessive levels too, can reach the level of must, have to, compulsion.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is I feel so the opposite of that. Like I have almost not enough compulsion.
Right.
I'm like so fucking chill lately that I'm like, I don't give a shit about anything. So...
I've been envious of people who had obsessions or compulsions. Like, wow, you cannot help but go to the gym every day. Awesome. I want that. But I don't really, because they're also not happy for.
Well, there's a say, it's so hard to say. Like, there's a saying in 12 step that I like, Overeaters 12 step. They say, let the vanity lead to sanity. Because usually people with eating disorders, like, you know, we're pretty vain. We're pretty overly obsessed on what we look like and how we appear to other people. And so sometimes it's like your obsession with how you look and how you appear to other people can get you to make some healthy choices.
Right.
Like going to the gym can be pretty healthy unless it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So everything's like a fine line and I'm trying to make sure my computer is charging so we don't run out.
Is it plugged in?
Why can't I tell? Hold on. Let's unplug it and see. Well, we'll find out, I guess. So I feel like
Well, it just went whoomp. So that implies that it made a connection.
Well, yeah, I unplugged it and then now I'm doing it again. So anyway, so I don't want to track, but I'm willing to track in a certain way. I'm trying this system that's a version of something I've done in the past that doesn't leave me feeling deprived. So I feel good about it. It feels healthy. It's a fuck ton of healthy food too. It's like you're eating a lot and you're eating healthy shit. So it doesn't feel really crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy if I were like eating a carrot and calling it a meal, you know? So that's happening.
Cool. That, right on.
Thanks.
We have, we have a pretty good letter that we can read if we want to get into that and respond.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that.
We'll do that. I was just going to see if I had any check-ins to jump in with. I think I'm, you know, last week I wasn't really ready to say clearly what the big change was, but now I'm like, of course, it's just the thing that everybody who listens to this has already worked out. Also, I've checked in with all my loved ones about this and stuff like that. And that's part of it was like, and that is that Denise and I, codenamed Denise and I have, are no longer romantic partners.
Yeah.
We're still very good friends. We're actually still talking all the time and doing shit, but it just, we broke up as romantic partners. So.
Yeah.
And that was a, but when we talked about it last, it was still pretty fresh. And I was still just kind of like, uh-huh, that's a thing that happened. And I was hard and sad.
Yeah.
And I'll share with the listener something I don't think I said on the podcast last time, but when I told Katie, I was like, Katie, I know you already know this. And, or you've been waiting for this to happen because you saw this coming because you were reading the whatever. My assumptions about how Katie operates was tuned in, you know, were a certain set of things. And your response was like, no, I'm just sad for you. That's a bummer.
Well, if I may.
I wasn't asking, so I didn't, like, you weren't asking for that information, so you didn't get that information.
Well, no, it's not that. It's how you came at it. The words you used were very critical of you.
Ah.
You said something like, I know that you're going to be like, why don't you hurry up and just do that already? Why haven't you done that already? Why haven't you ripped the Band-Aid of that off, you said.
Right.
And I was like, no, no, no. No, I don't. No, I may have known, you know, this doesn't look good and it's probably not going to end well, but like for all these reasons that just make sense and usually are the end of things and psychically, but people have to, breakups are hard. And what I said to you was like, no, I just love you. And I think it's hard. And if I were to say to you, just rip the Band-Aid off already, when you're just starting to look at the possibility of like, this might not work.
Right.
That would just be mean, I think.
Right.
So that's what I was responding to.
Oh, okay. I think I misread your response then for sure. But
yeah.
Regardless, I appreciated it that it wasn't like.
Also, like, it's always like sometimes you think a relationship looks like it's ending in someone else's life and then it does not. So, like, you know, who the fuck knows, like, what choices people. It also doesn't matter what, like, consciousness says. It's not like people do what consciousness says. People do what they fucking want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We do have free will and we make choices and we keep moving through them. And
yeah, we have to be merciful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to sort of name it and put it out there and just say like, yeah. And, you know, my day-to-dayness of it is surprisingly less sad and painful than I was expecting. Like I was open to and have been available to. And I've had good days and bad days and, you know.
Except that your digestion isn't working.
Except that my digestion isn't working. So what's not easy to stomach that.
Digest. Yeah.
That, yeah. And that did follow up on that. But I mean, to my own will, I really feel like I have been, you know, I've been meditating every day and like sitting with myself and really trying to like feel any feelings I have.
Hmm.
And some days they're there and some days I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Life's good. I continue to have beloved humans surrounding me all the time. I have such good friends and such good family. And even Denise is still a friend. And that's, there's a lot of love there. And there's, you know, so the.
So you're not lonely right now.
I'm not lonely right now.
That's great.
I'd love to get laid, but that's its own story.
Okay, so if listeners, this is how he did this before.
Right. So
if you'd like to sleep with Cassidy along. Brown, go ahead and send an email in.
I don't have an OkCupid profile anymore. I tried to reactivate it, and I can't find the info.
Ew, don't do OkCupid anyway. Ew. Let's get you on Hinge or something.
Well, yeah.
Are you ready? Maybe you're not ready yet. It's very fast.
Yeah. I'm also just kind of like taking every day as a good day to get shit done.
Yeah, rock on.
And a big part of the relief, you know. And I know Denise is a big listener to this, so I'm not saying anything that's like going to be shocking to her or anything. That's part of why I'm a little more careful about it. Because
of course.
She's one of our best listeners. Is like the feeling of not trying to continually be wondering or worrying about something.
Yeah.
Is great. That's awesome. That background noise.
And for the listener, can you explain more about what you mean about wondering and worrying about something?
Yeah. Like, I've been in this relationship with someone I very much love and am in love with. And we have probably for the last 6 to 8 months been a little more like just like, oh, our schedules aren't lining up. And that's what we're ascribing it to, you know, but like not connecting in the way we did for the first 3 years of our relationship, you know.
Wow, it's 3 years?
Or maybe this is 3 years. I think we just hit 3 years. So like 2.5 years of like great, super connected, supportive. And we're like being very supportive and being very, you know, talking whenever we could. But there was just something missing in the like the juice of the connectivity. And we, you know, have both been very generously being like, it's okay. We love each other. It's fine. We'll figure it out. It's fine. But it just was a lot ongoing of that. Well, meanwhile, we were both living our lives and having our own changes in spiritual growth and things that were possibly, you know, shifting us, but we weren't shifting together because we weren't together. And so then feeling like, you know, and it often is that background noise. It's that thing you don't quite know you're doing all the time, which is kind of, you know, waking up every day going, well, I should talk to her, but I should make sure I'm saying it right or whatever I'm saying, because I want to make sure that we're moving in the right direction with whatever our communication is. And, you know, being more careful, frankly, and still being honest as much as you could, but maybe not saying 100% of everything. Saying, you know, 85 to 90% of everything, because you're just like, oh, I don't want to like push on that because that'll feel like I'm ripping off a scab or something, you know. And now I'm pretty, I'll just say what the fuck I'm thinking.
So let me ask you something.
Which is what I wish I would have been doing the whole time, as does she, I imagine.
Right. It's hard. But you're still saying a lot of words and I'm having trouble tracking. You were saying before, tell me if this is correct. You were always thinking, there was a background noise of always worrying a little, always thinking a little. And I think what I'm hearing you say that you were worrying about and thinking about is, why is the juice gone? Or am I going to say some?
Or why does this feel like it might be slipping away?
Okay, what's the problem? Is there a problem? Is it slipping away? Where's the juice? All that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to just get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. And you both felt it, or she felt it and named it and you didn't feel it?
I actually can't say what she was feeling the whole time, but I can say that I was feeling it without really
wanting to
or fully embracing that I was feeling it.
Right.
Because I was still operating in the space of, you know, of hope, and that's fine. We'll work on it. We're fine.
Right.
It's fine. We'll work on it. We'll get it back together. We love each other. It's good. We're great communicators. We'll be fine. We'll be good.
Yeah.
Because we love each other and because we're open and honest with each other. We'll find it. But that, what I'm saying there is like, we'll find it. What are you talking about? What will you find? Like acknowledging that even in saying that, I was thinking that there was something to find and thinking that there was something to repair or fix or return to.
But I guess what I'm asking you is, was it mutual or was she like, hey, something's not working?
In the breakup, it was one-sided. It was called out by her.
Okay. But you're realizing post-breakup, I think this is what you're saying, you tell me, if that you had been feeling like, yeah, things are off.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
But your attitude about things were off was like, but that's okay, because we'll work it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. I think the reason being, like, when it happened, it wasn't a big shock for me.
Uh-huh.
It was a shock in the sense of like, oh, damn, fuck, that.
Bummer.
I don't want that to be true.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, when you're shocked by news or something, it, for me at least, it's, I feel it in the gut. I feel a punch in the gut. I feel a squirt of adrenaline.
Yes.
I feel, you know.
A squirt. I like that. A squirt of adrenaline.
I don't know if that's how adrenaline works, but that's how I always experience it. And I did not. I had a blossoming dread occur, but.
Yeah.
You know, like. As it was coming out, it was like, oh, fuck, yeah, this is what's coming out.
Of your mouth or of her mouth?
Of hers.
I see.
Well, and the thing was, it actually kind of happened almost accidentally over a text exchange. And then we were like.
What do you mean?
And then we had to talk. But it was like.
Oh.
We were just texting back and forth about something, which I actually will keep private.
Sure.
And the way the responses came.
Yeah.
Made me go, wait, are you. Are you saying this is not something to explore with you or whatever? And she was like, fuck, yes, I am saying that, you know, boom. Yeah. And then it became more clear. And then we talked on the phone and it was much more.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I know you're fine. I know you're strong, but I still love.
And I'm also sad and I'm also feeling my fucking feelings and it sucks.
I love you and I'm sorry it's happening.
Thank you.
It's hard. It's always hard for everybody.
What I've noticed in my emotional experience in the last several days, watching even trashy shit TV, like procedurals and stuff that I watch, the things that I keep tearing up over things around like family or I'll be there for you or I got your back.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, note that. What is that? Why is that the thing?
Well, that's not such a mystery, is it?
No, but it's, yeah, it's like I've been.
It's pretty clear.
But yeah, it's just interesting. It's been like, oh, there's the, just even on a cop show, you know, or whatever, it'll be like, but we've got each other. We'll take care of each other because we're always there for each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scene with cancer and I'm like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. But.
Well, you better knock on some wood, brother.
Yeah. Anyway, and I am surrounded by people who've got my back. So, yay. And I'm grateful for that. And that makes me tear up too. So that.
It's nice. Rock and roll.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
And oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, listeners, for listening.
I think I want to say one other thing too, just to, now that you've opened the real doors of vulnerability, I'll share a little more about, unless you have more on that.
No, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. We're here for you. We love you. Listeners, feel free to write Cassidy an email that's like, we love you. You're the best. And I would like to date you.
To sleep with you.
So I was house sitting, as you know. God, I cannot get my sound right today. It's like if I take one of these off my ear, then it starts to fall off my head uncomfortably. And then, but I can hear.
Yeah.
Okay. I was house sitting from the 5th to the 14th. How many days is that? Is that?
That's 9 days. That's how math works.
Math?
Arithmetic, really.
And what? And and it all was built around I didn't know this until I was in it, the solar eclipse.
Right.
I legitimately just went on a healing retreat where I cleared, let's look at it. Let's look at it. How would we quantify that? I'm going to get a number or something here. 3 years worth of trauma in 9 days in about 5 different sessions with myself on the couch at that house. All activated, I believe, by the astrological whatevers that are happening now and made much more doable by my solitude. Like being alone out there, it allowed me to be like, oh, I can't get distracted by going and watching TV with Eric and cuddling because I'd rather do that than sit here and process this.
Yeah.
It was so fucking intense. And I came out of it as I was driving back. I was like, I realized like the 24 hours pre-driving back were like the smoothing out and the coming out period. Because the 24 hours before that, I did a full day of crying. And the 24 hours before that, I did a full day of processing. So it was just like super intense. And I processed a bunch of, I want to share this because it's very specific and odd and hopefully helpful to people. Fury, like fury, that was all through the brainstem in my spinal column, down into the back of the heart. Then there was, wait for it, because this gets entertaining. Then there was shame, a bunch of shame. None of this, by the way.
That's hilarious. Oh, no, that's not.
None of this, by the way, had any content with it. There was no, like, because of the time that this happened. For me, when there's no content and I'm not clear on what's happened, it's usually because it was happening pre-verbal.
Gotcha.
So like this trauma, the fury and the shame were from, you know, probably that infant sexual abuse I survived. And then there was a third thing. And I worked on the third thing. Here's where it gets entertaining, I hope. I think it was like two full days of like 2-hour session here, wait 4 hours, see some clients, put a staging bid together, do another 2 hours, watch some TV, wake up in the middle of the night, do an hour, work on a staging bid, ask you if you want to come on a staging job, do 2 hours. It was like that. At the end of it, it was so intense and I had no information whatsoever about it that I was like, all right, I need to know, because this was a doozy. I have a series of questions I ask when I'm processing energy through like all the 9 schools I've been to or whatever that are like, each school will be like, always ask these questions to find out, la, la, la. But if you go to a bunch of schools, they all have their own set of questions. Through asking for a long time, maybe half an hour of asking, usually it takes me like a minute. Because I'll be like, okay, it was entities, demons, past, present, future, trauma, karma, past lives, this life, other people's energy, anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, guilt, future, past. You know, there's like other people's energy, mind. Does it belong to a person or a thing? Like there's questions you can ask. It took me so fucking long. And I eventually got to, I was carrying, we should like ask in the records about this. Cause I want to know why, cause it's entertaining. The guilt of the planet Neptune.
Okay. Yeah. That Neptune's got some heavy guilt that it's shooting out of its rays. I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about a planet having guilt. I don't know if we're talking about the collective consciousness of like the beings that live on the planet, I get a no, or the physical planet itself, which I get a yes, which makes no sense to me.
So that is the kind of shit that the cynics and skeptics and naysayers be like, see, she's going to say shit like that.
I know.
You're carrying the guilt of the planet Neptune. Get the fuck out of here.
I know. This is why working with me is multidimensional. I can be very grounded, or everything's your pain from childhood, except for when it's the guilt of Neptune. The fuck?
And to my guilt of Neptune, title of the episode.
Yes. What? That one was just like, okay. And it was around the eclipse. So I was like, sure. Yeah. All right. The guilt of Neptune. And then I was like, more importantly, is it fucking gone? And it was like, yes, it's gone. You did it.
Jesus. Wow.
So anyway, we could ask a bunch more questions and be like, well, did I mean, I already asked a lot. Did I live on Neptune? No. Did I work for Neptune? No. How did I take that on? Why did I take that on? I don't know yet. It sort of doesn't matter because it's gone now, but still, it's kind of interesting, right?
It's fascinating.
Hey, what's up? This is Rami. I took a little break from doing these. I have no good reason. I just didn't feel like it. And I was just practicing, like, not putting pressure on myself to do them when I didn't feel like it. So that's what happened. In general, in my life, I've been doing a lot of practicing of removing the pressure I put on myself for things. It's really great. I wish I'd started sooner. And, you know, of course, I have a long way to go. I still put tons of pressure on myself, but I do see the difference, which is nice. Well, I spent 45 seconds just talking about that. Should I say something else? This might be long. Well, let me give it a shot. So I am in Malvern, Pennsylvania. It's a small town. Kind of like, let's say 50 minutes from Philly. And I was in Philly on my day off seeing my friend Allison and her baby, who's not a baby. He's a toddler. His name is Heyin. Heyin is 3 years old. And I have known him since he was, I want to say, a month old. He's a really special baby. He's not a baby. Excuse me. He's a really special kiddo. And I remember the moment when he got me. He was a baby. I was taking him while Allison slept. We were walking in the cemetery in West Philly. And he was on my chest in a thingy. And he looked at me and made intense eye contact. You know, the magic of eye contact, like sustained eye contact. The biology of that is so interesting. Anyway, he did that. He looked at me, he held my gaze, made this sustained eye contact. I went through a whole ass journey during it where I was like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, look at you. Oh, you're still looking at me like, oh, wow, I'm really looking at you. And then something happened, like a biological fucking thing happened. And my heart blossomed open or melted at the same time. Just fucking like, I felt a change in my biology after a certain amount of time of that eye contact. And I fell in love with this child, spirit, amazing spirit. And it has remained. It's so wild. I like babies. They're all right. You know, I mean, I'm good with them. I have lots of experience with them. But, you know, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I just want to eat you up. Oh, you do a blah. No, nah, nah, they're fine. You know, but this kiddo did that to me. Did that to me. And it has stuck. And I remember when I was on the train going back to New York after that particular visit, I don't remember how many days it was, I was on the train going home and I missed him. And I was like sad from missing him as I knew I was leaving him. And I was like, what is going on? But I felt it. I don't usually miss people, even people I love very much, but especially not people's babies anyway. So now he's three. And so I have this wonderful little one that I have this sort of some kind of biological connection to. And I absolutely, it feels like a biological connection. Anyway, that's it. Rami's rules.
Total change of subject. Why in your life do you have so many squeaky wooden office chairs?
Jesus Christ, you ask a great question. Motherfucker. I hate it too. I am with you. I am so sorry. You know how much time I spend in my day putting myself on mute on Zoom? Because with the clients, oftentimes I turn my camera off because they don't need to see me moving my hands around and doing crazy shit. It distracts people from their process.
But then they hear...
But then it's like... So then I'm muting.
Pet monkey.
And then they're like, after a while, they're like, are you still there? Because I'm like blind and muted.
Can we do a GoFundMe to buy you a nice a plastic webbed fancy office chair?
Listen, here's the problem. I have one and it's ugly. This chair I'm sitting in is stunningly beautiful and matches the furniture in here. I am a stager.
Yeah.
And it's pretty.
Is it comfortable?
Yes.
Really? Because it sounds uncomfortable.
I know.
Like an awkward wooden chair.
It's not.
Can you give me a little camera? Can you?
Yeah.
I want to see this thing.
I'll show it to you. You're going to love it. You're going to be struggling with me because you're going to realize.
We'll have to take a picture and post it in the show notes if we can. Put it as the cover shot.
Okay, good. All right.
Oh, wow. That is not what I was expecting it to look like. Thought it was going to be like from an old schoolhouse from the 70s.
How would you describe this to people?
That's like an aileron mod from Modern 73 or one of those really expensive stores that often pop up in neighborhoods that you're surprised that they're in. I'm speaking from experience. There's this insanely high-end, like,
yeah,
schwung schwung store
Yeah.
Kind of in my neighborhood, but close to Telegraph on Oakland, in Oakland, which I'm like, not really?
I know.
Who's walking by this place? Nobody. Yeah,
nobody.
Jesus.
Anyway. It's a fancy fucking chair that I got.
It's like black leather, curved moon. It's like a pod. It's like half a pod.
Yeah. Black leather, but with a wood frame.
It's like a futuristic, but with wood.
If you say to people who know stuff, it's an Eames chair.
Oh, well, it's an Eames, not an aileron or aileron or
aileron. Aileron works too. Sure.
It's another fancy
chair. But it's very Eamesy. If you know what that is, you know what this is.
Jesus. But God, it's badly made.
Anyway, the price you pay for fashion, man. It's not that it's badly made. It's that I think it has to be tightened or loosened at the, I think it has to be tightened at the screwy screws.
At the joints and stuff.
In fact, you know what? That's very doable. And my new commitment to you and the listeners is I will do that before we tape again.
Just take a screwdriver to it next time.
Thank you for pointing it out.
So that was possibly the most important thing that we needed to discuss on today's episode. But we do have this letter that we want to read.
Let's hear it. I can't wait.
Great. Okay. Pop, pop, pop. Shubidi bidi bop, bop, bop. What am I doing? Sorry. I was.
Shubidi bidow, boop, boop, doo.
A bunch of messages were on my phone. But instead, I'm going to look at I'll answer spot. All right. It's kind of long, but I'll read it. It's good. It's a good one.
All right. I'm going to make, since it's long, I'm going to make notes about what the actual questions are.
Great.
So when we go back to me trying to answer them, I'll have them.
I'm going to tell you who it was signed by, which is K. I'm just going to give you the initial. Yeah, but she said not to use her name, so.
Okay.
We'll beep that out now.
Great. I figured we'd have to beep it, but okay.
Anyway, but she did sign it with Left Angle Cross of Incarnation, 24-44-13-7, in case that's relevant.
Wait, that's not a, she didn't say anything useful in that.
That's except right. Everybody numbers. Has a left angle cross of incarnation.
No, it could be right. She's talking about incarnation cross, but of what?
I don't know.
So I know it's left.
Of incarnation.
No, she wrote it wrong. So that would be something like this. I have the left angle cross of industry, juxtaposition,
got it.
Prayer. There needs to be a word. She just missed it. She hasn't sent that. So that doesn't help us at all.
Great. All right. So that wasn't important information. All right. No need to share my name? Question mark. I want to thank you both. I have sat with your voices and allowed myself to feel into my emotions, call out other time periods, process, cry. I even yelled a bit too. This newest episode, Coming Off the Roof, which was a few weeks ago, has been repeating in my head all week, both through headphones and in my head. Yes, I know that isn't where I'm supposed to process things. I'm noticing the ways in which my human design manifesting generator emotional processing is reflected from you too. Thank you for sharing your guidance, stories, and experiences with me. You sharing your 3420 and elementary question mark family effects had me processing a lot. Not sure what that meant. I have played it on repeat all week now. One day I stopped the repeat short and noticed the prayer may have not been closed for me if in fact I'm experiencing it along with you. This is leading to the question. I felt into all the needs I have to process these channels, numbers, times of my life all week. One of my questions is, when Katie opens the records and we sit in prayer with that opening, are we able to open our records as well? And if we are opening ours to the collective, are we opening ours to others, including Katie and Cassidy?
No.
Or others whose records are opened at the same time?
I don't know what she's getting at. Why? Is she afraid of... What does she say after that?
In doing so, do we somehow also tap into the collective prayer for those who need these messages? Or are we just picking up what we see in ourselves? So many questions. But most importantly, when is Tiburon? I will bring the balloons.
Oh, you missed Tiburon, babe. Is that it? Are those all the questions?
Then it says three at a time, which I'm not sure what that means. Maybe the balloons three at a time.
Yeah.
Thanks again for making me laugh, cry, think, ponder, process, ask, write, work.
Aww.
Everyone needs reminding to do their work.
That's nice. First of all, I want to know what your actual incarnation cross is. So you need to tell me, is it, it's the left angle cross of something. Tell me what the of is and we could speak about it here. Number two, Cassidy, can you reread the whole thing that was sort of a series of questions?
One of my questions is, when Katie opens the records and we sit in prayer with that opening, are we able to open our records as well?
Okay, let's pause there. Oh, God, I really kind of can't understand what she's asking. I think I psychically get a no, and I'm trying to just listen in so I could see. Let me just see with this for a second. What do you... So to get into your records, I would need to open your records. So no, if you're sitting with us and I'm opening the records of Cassidy, let's say, Cassidy and I are then in the records of Cassidy. And if you're sensitive, you might perceive the opening of Cassidy's records. So if you're experiencing something when we do that, you are experiencing the opening of Cassidy Jamal Brown's records. So you might be, if what you're saying is you notice things in your body or feelings you have, what's happening there is you are perceiving what it feels like to open Cassidy's records, which is really cool. To open your records, the good news is, I don't know what if we even want to qualify it with the word good, but some news is, in order to open yours, you could use the prayer I always use or any one of the prayers I use and just replace your name with it. And then you're opening the records of you. Okay, so that's that. Now, she asked something after that.
Well, it's a dependent clause in a sense. And if we are opening ours to the collective, I think so. She was wondering if all the people listening, if you are tapped in, if you open yours, have you now opened it to everybody who's listening?
No.
And you're saying no anyway, so it doesn't matter. Are we opening ours to others, including Katie and Cassidy? No, we're not.
No. No, but you might be. I would need to hear more information from you to understand what makes you ask the question. Because if you're asking the question because what happens for you when I open Cassidy's records or the records of the collective or whatever we're opening, right? If what happens for you when you listen is something energetic, you perceive something, you feel something, something goes on for you, what would be happening there is you are aware of with your energy body the opening of what I've opened, which is cool because you're aware of it. Hooray, awareness.
But it's kind of like you can hear the door opening, but you don't walk into the room.
Uh-huh.
My metaphor? Does my metaphor kind of work?
Yes.
She's like, oh, I heard a door opening.
Yeah.
Am I now in the room with you?
Right.
No,
right.
You're more witnessing the process.
The door open.
But you're still somewhat on the outside of it. And the more sensitive you are, the more you're a little more perceiving it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not actually entering into the records with us or others whose records are open at the same time. Yeah.
No, but sometimes people who are super sensitive or perceptive or both, if you're nearby or listening to someone open someone else's records, you'll perceive it, you'll feel it open, and you'll be in Cassidy Jamal Brown's records. Because if you're perceptive and sensitive and you open easily, sometimes that does happen. So anyway, I'd love to hear from this person if they are having experiences in their body when it happens, or if they're just asking from an abstract place of my mind wants to know the answer to this, which is fine too.
But I think we answered the question. And the short answer is, nah, not really. And the longer answer is, you are perceiving something possibly, but we'd like to hear more.
Well, the longer answer is more like what I said.
No, but I wanted to say it in my words that were wrong.
Okay. You did. Good job. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So there's that. And that's it? That's all she had?
That was it. It seemed like a long email, but really there was just those questions.
Well, thanks for writing in. Write in more. Ask more questions. I would love to hear more questions from people writing in. It'd be so nice to hear from peeps again.
Yeah.
I feel like we were for a while and then we just aren't.
Yeah. It was fun. We've done a couple of marathon episodes, which were fun.
Yeah.
With like 10 questions, but that was when we'd gotten backed up. We haven't gotten backed up on questions for a while. People, it's time for you to do your work, which is your job. It's to send us questions.
Your job is to date Cassidy.
And send us questions.
And send us questions. It's very simple. I don't know what's so hard for you
guys.
What's
the problem? What the problem is?
Get into it. What the problem is. What's that from? Is that from something?
I don't know. I just have heard people say it.
I've been hearing people frame things that way a lot lately, and I'm like, I'm confused because it feels like an appropriation of Black culture in a way where I'm like—
It probably is.
Where I'm like, isn't that a thing we don't do now? But then everybody's doing it, so I'm like, it must be a quote from— what's happening?
Well, that's all TikTok is full of, you know, is just 9-year-old white kids saying things that probably originated in either— Black culture or ballroom culture or gay Black culture specifically, even more so narrowly, and then got taken out of context and is now used weirdly.
Like, here's one for you. Help me out with this. Who dis? Who dis?
New phone who dis?
New phone who dis? Can I say that?
I mean, you'll... Yes, and I'm not the one to give you permission.
I'm just saying, what is your awareness? Like, would you say that?
In certain contexts with certain friends.
Okay. How about this one? How about this one? This is even less... This is so dumb. You up?
I think that's fine.
That's like, that's pretty like not specific to any culture.
Yeah, that's just.
But you know what?
That's just taking the R out.
That's fair. who dis doesn't have to have the new phone who dis. It could just be who dis.
Right.
Couldn't it?
Yeah. I think I forget. There was a.
All right. I got one more for you.
Okay.
Sup.
Yeah. I mean.
Or what you doing?
No. I think now you're just getting into Elysian, phonetic Elysian, which is pretty consistent through a lot of.
What you doing?
What you doing? That's okay. What you all doing? Right. What you doing?
I'm saying I'm confused.
My.
Who dis?
Yeah, that's what my.
Sup.
Texas cousins would say. Hey, what you doing?
Right. But I'm also not from the South.
Right. Yeah. Language is funny.
All right. So sup is not cool.
What's up? I mean, also, what's up is pretty, I don't know, not a linguist.
Like apostrophe S-U-P.
Right. But literally, like in my mind, if I were to get very pedantic about it, sup is really just barely different than what's up.
Right.
Because when you say what's up quickly, what's up?
Right.
It should be T-S-U-P maybe rather than S-U-P. Sup.
That's good. I like that.
And then that just becomes sup.
Yeah, so maybe that's not.
And it also is like what kind of like.
Maybe that's not taken then.
Flair you put on it or what kind of literal accent you put on it.
Yeah.
Not just the thing itself, but like the way in which you say it, it's going to matter.
Yeah. Cool. That feels clear. We should tell the people before we wrap up for today.
That we're both very white.
Well, I think they know. I think they've caught on. I think it's pretty obvious.
I think it's pretty clear.
No, that we had a social hang.
What? We saw each other in human form.
And we just like did stuff people do.
Yeah, I know.
And it was fun as fuck for me. I don't know about you. That was fun.
That was really fun. We went and saw Mortified, which wherever you are, in whatever city you are, there are lots of cities that have the show Mortified. I would recommend it to people. It's a lot of fun. It's just dumb. It's dumb fun too. It's just dumb fun because it's people reading from their diaries when they were in like
junior high,
anywhere from like 9 to 20.
So here's my takeaways.
Yeah.
Always start your sexual experiences by dipping your breasts in ice cold milk.
Apparently that's a thing.
And peace, one love is the way to.
Also make sure you tell everybody what you wore and ate. Every day.
Right, right. And then when you finish your entry, sign it. Peace, one love.
Peace, love. Peace, one love.
I mean, because one love, that feels like.
That is Bob Marley straight up.
Right. 90s appropriation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peace, one love.
Well, that's when he was writing it. So.
Yep. That's my point.
And that was the guy that was doing slam poetry, is it?
Oh, God. The slam poetry was next level.
Yes.
Milk sex.
Milk sex. There were a lot of good things in that show. There's also a good podcast. The Mortified podcast is very amusing. So I'm just going to plug everybody else's work.
Yeah, why not?
Mortified, plug ours.
Yeah. Is Mortified a thing that is now a franchise that Scott, our buddy, is a producer of one of the franchises?
Yes. So there is the original, I think was in LA. It was a guy who just started getting people together to do a storytelling show similar to other storytelling shows, but with this particular angle at it.
Yeah.
And it became big. And then, yeah. And he basically sort of, I'd say franchise is probably the right word. Our buddy Scott is the local producer for the San Francisco Bay Area Mortified. They've got it in DC. They've got it in LA. They've got it in New York. They've got it in like Baltimore. They've got it in, and they have a board game. They have like a party game. They have a podcast, but those are all, and the brand, though, it is a branded thing that does belong to the guy who originated it, whose name I can't think of right now.
Okay. Interesting.
Who is like a friend of Scott's, like Scott, our buddy Scott, who's been on the show.
Yep.
He's been doing it here in the Bay Area for like 10, 15 years, forever.
Right. Very impressive. So, I love that he's kept that going for so long.
Yeah.
It's also just, it always does so well and the vibe is so good in there. You know, Scott is such a great, like, facilitator of big groups of good vibes, I feel like.
Yep, that's a skill that he has, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. While still being, he can be a little snarky and a little like.
But in the right way.
But it never turns to like angry or mean or Yep. Yeah, it's, can be like, yeah, I love him. We love Scott. He's a good human. He's a good human.
Really good human.
One of our good people.
So listen to Mortified and come see the live show and you'll run into me and Cassidy sitting there dripping our milk sex all over.
Although we were sitting in the VIP booth, so you might.
Dripping our milk sex all over.
We were having milk sex in the VIP booth.
Just dripping it off of our boobs because it was frozen on with cold milk.
So good. Oh, amazing.
All right. I got to go.
Wait. There was one thing that happened.
Oh, God.
Weird.
Help.
And then I know you got to go write a grant, and I'm so sorry it's that the you have worst. To go write
Kill
a grant.
Me. Just put a fork in my eye.
One of those many, you know, what is it called when things happen?
Synchronicities.
That's the word. You knew. I'm sitting there. I'm behind the little barrier in the booth area because our friend Ari is running the digital, and we haven't gone upstairs to the VIP booth yet. The place is packed. They never have enough chairs in this venue. And someone comes up. And a little, like, kindly, but a little demandingly kind of went like, is there any possibility that anybody could get some more chairs? And, but she goes, comes to me, because I'm behind the barrier, obviously I work there.
Right.
I don't. And I was kind of a dick about it. I was kind of like, I wish I could tell you, I don't work here. You know, little dismissive. And then Ari, who doesn't also work there, was very kind and said like, you know what? They literally have no more chairs. This happens every time. I'm so sorry. I wish we did. There are no more chairs in this building. And then the woman goes, Cass? And she looks up at me and she goes, it's Bronwyn. Now, Bronwyn's someone I went to college with 30 years ago. That's not the weird part. That's cool. I ran into somebody that I haven't seen in a long time. I've seen her a few times throughout the years, but we went to Sonoma State together 30 fucking years ago or more at this point. Jesus, way more. God damn it. I'm old.
Sad. We're all dying.
She ultimately married a person that we also went to college with. They weren't together back then, in those days, at all. That's also interesting. But she married someone I knew, this guy Dave. And anyway, Bronwyn's name had been in my head that day. Earlier that day, I read a post from her husband about the passing of his father. And he mentioned Bronwyn, like, you know, I've been had great support from lovely humans, and my partner Bronwyn. And I thought about Bronwyn Bronwyn. We did hair together. La la la. She's in my fucking head.
Wow.
She lives three counties away.
Love this.
And then she comes to this event and she's the one who comes up to me when I'm standing right there for that 5 minute period and recognizes me. And it was amazing.
That's really, really amazing.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
And again, meaning shmeaning, it just was cool.
Well, I mean, I would offer, oftentimes, I mean, oh God, there's a lot we could say here. There's a lot to this. I'll say just a couple things in case they're useful. One is the first time you, quote, think of a person and then you run into them, usually the first time is an awareness of them being on the, about to enter your orbit. In other words, we think, I thought of them once and then that created, you know, like them seeing them again or something. It's oftentimes not like that at all. It's like they're, think of them as like you were about to run into each other at Mortified.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing a gesture with my hands like.
Open, wide.
Outstretched hands, left and right, are far apart, and then they're coming slowly close together. As she enters your orbit, you perceive her psychically or energetically before the encounter. And that's if, usually, a couple things are the case. One, you have a heart connection, so you're connected by at the heart, or used to be, or whatever. Two, there's a karmic unfolding in this moment. Like that you're completing some karma, you're enacting some karma, you're reacting to karma, you're acting out some karma. Three, if you're part of their soul family, usually that'll happen. Like, and by soul family, like the human design language of that would be if they're on your vector, meaning like different groups of people come in on a vector together. So you're always going to kind of be running into each other, and you're supposed to, because you've been together before and before and before, and now it's just part of the vector of the vector you're on, like what you're learning about soul tribe, soul family vector. And that's, those are three biggies. Does any of that, do any of those feel true?
I mean,
heart, karma, vector.
Yes. I've always felt like whenever I've seen her through the years, she's always been like a special human in my, you know, she stands out. Mm. She stands out in my memory. We were not close back then. Mm-hmm. We did, like I said, we did a play together. We did a very, we did an epic production of Hair that was, took place over 6 months in terms of like the workshopping of it. And we went on retreats and it was a super intense college experience. And she was part of that. And she always, I always had total crush on her and kind of felt like, God, she's a, one of those special humans, like out of my reach in terms of emotionally, yeah. But I thought she was just, you know, a higher being than me. So I do have those, that sort of intense, like, oh my God, it's a Bronwyn in my, throughout these years. So she may be soul family then.
Well, okay. Yeah. But also I wouldn't pass up how interesting it is that where that shows up in your field for you to see in a moment when you're looking at questions about your value in relationship. Mm. I won't say too much more because it's, you've shared it with me in confidence, mm-hmm. but like the patterns from the past that we've been looking at in our work together.
Right.
You're processing those through.
Yeah.
Hopefully from my point of view, with the goal of dissolving enough of the energy around this always happens where I wind up rejected or I don't know what words you would want to use.
Right. Reclassified.
Yeah. The person I was with, I'm not with anymore. And it happens in a certain specific way.
Yeah.
And then here comes a Bronwyn. So like when you see her now, what do you feel or think or notice in response to her? Examples would be, wait a minute. Wow. I wrote a narrative about how special and up there she was, but now I see she's just a person and I could date a person like her.
Right.
Or do you see her and go, man, she's still up on a pedestal and I'm not really good enough? Or do you go?
No, I think it's more the first one and the version. And frankly, if, you know, if I wanted to make it a positive, it is the idea of like, oh, and she still sees me as a peer, like straight, you know what I mean? Me and my admiration for her, she still looks straight across at me mm-hmm. rather than down from above at me. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That, you know, it's an acknowledgement of her going, holy shit, it's you. I think you're wonderful, you know. Mm. Not that I'm dating her. It's just that I'm, but the idea of her being special is she's shown to me to say, you get plenty of special people here and you're valuable or equal in value to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So to me, that's how things all sort of start to knit together.
Right.
In other words, whatever I'm working on internally in my process starts to get reflected to me in new, interesting, subtle ways based on where you're at with the processing of it and vice versa. You know, like I moved in with Eric, like that's a big deal for me, right? So all my relational shit is up.
Yeah.
So of course I go to a retreat in Tiburon and have all this fury at whoever from my first relational trauma
yeah.
as an infant, not my fault, but it is my responsibility, come up because it's activated just by being so close to another human all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, there's a way we can hold this kind of thing that people get critical of where it's like, you're writing narratives or you're making everything mean something when it doesn't. What I found is that everything does mean something and you don't have to hold it like it's the Taj Mahal, but you can get the lesson from it and then you get to get a new lesson after that. Mm-hmm. Or you can diminish it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about for all of us. We can diminish it, minimize it. That was nothing. That's just a person. What? Oh, coincidence. How funny. And move on.
Yeah.
And then you have to see it again and see it again and see it again until you get it. Because the universe is actually generous and providing us reflection all the fucking time. But we just go like, I'm making that up, or I must be crazy, or that's not a thing. Or worse than that, we make it mean shit that it doesn't mean, mm-hmm. which is tricky too.
Yeah, that's the hard part because—
How do you know?
Our minds are doing the work and
yeah.
they're faulty sometimes. So we just keep—
Well, I would offer to the listener, if this is useful to you, there's a way that the thing that the thing is showing you, the message, the teaching, the lesson is usually intuitively resonant to you inside yourself. So if you were to say to yourself, huh, I wonder if this means that. I wonder if this means this. I wonder if this means a third thing. Which one just feels like, yeah. And that's what it is.
That's the one.
It's just that simple. There's a way that your body or your heart or your being, not your head, because your head will always be confused.
Mm-hmm.
But your body, your heart, or your being will go like, yeah, it seems like it's that first one or whatever.
Right.
And the more we can each listen to, yeah, it seems like it's that first one. Then that is called deconditioning, getting yourself out of your head and starting to trust something other than the mind. Good stuff. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for a little extra time cutting into your awesome.
It's fine.
Writing of a fucking grant.
Wish me luck. Can you do it for me?
Do your work. Jesus, that's work.
Do it for me. I want you to do it.
Talk about work.
You do it. You do it for me. Do it.
I'll do your work.
Okay, do my work. Do my work.
Do my work. All right, everybody, do my work.
Bye, do my work.
Bye, do my work. You asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers?
Yeah, all the answers. Holy crap. All the answers, listeners, friends, family. Can you believe the following intel? Next week is our 200th episode. 200. And we want to make it an extra special one. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask in the Akashic Records, guidance you need for your life, things you're trying to understand about yourself or the universe or your human design chart or people in your life or things happened in the past or past lives or karma or anything wackadoo like that, please send us your questions. We really miss hearing more questions from you guys and doing our best to answer them. I mean, after all, we are all the answers, so we have all the answers, so you probably should send your questions. You send them to allanswerspod@gmail.com. Episode 200, you guys. Can you believe it?
Ooh la la. Ooh la la. Ooh la la. Ah, ah.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.